Welcome to episode 1419 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our exploration of the ninth commandment, as we do a deep dive into each of the guidelines for human flourishing, memorialized by the very hand of God in 10 commandments.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
False witness does not merely damage reputations. False witness paves the way for injustice. False witness enables the powerful to harm the vulnerable. The Old Testament contains stark stories that reveal this pattern. These are not stories of minor dishonesty. These are stories of false words being used as weapons. False words that lead to death. False words that pervert justice. False words that destroy lives. One story is told in 1 Kings 21. King Ahab wants a vineyard. The vineyard belongs to Naboth. Ahab offers to buy it or exchange it for a better one, but Naboth refuses. Naboth has a right to his vineyard. It is his inheritance. He will not sell it. Ahab is outraged. He is sullen and angry. He refuses to eat. He refuses to speak. But Jezebel, his wife, has a plan.
So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters she wrote, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people, but seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death."
Jezebel's plan is to use false witness to take what her husband wants. She arranges for scoundrels, liars, to testify against Naboth. The false witnesses claim Naboth has cursed God and the king. Capital crimes. The elders and nobles believe the false witnesses. They stone Naboth. He dies. His vineyard becomes Ahab's. Notice the progression. False words are spoken. False charges are made. These false words are believed. The community acts on them. An innocent man dies. Injustice triumphs. The powerful take what they want. False witness enabled murder. Perverted justice. Destroyed an innocent man's life. But notice something else. God sees this injustice.
Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. "Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property?' Then say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours.'"
God responds to the injustice. He says to Ahab, "You have murdered a man through false witness. You have seized his property. There will be consequences." Another story reveals a different but related dynamic. In Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers are jealous of him. Joseph has dreams in which he is elevated above his brothers. Joseph tells them about these dreams. The brothers are outraged. They resent Joseph. They decide to harm him. When Joseph comes to them, they
"took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, 'What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood.' His brothers agreed."
The brothers sell Joseph into slavery, but then they engage in false witness.
"They got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, 'We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe.' He recognized it and said, 'It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces.'"
The brothers bear false witness. They lie about what happened to Joseph. They let their father believe a wild animal killed him. They create false evidence, the blood-stained robe. And their lie works. Their father believes it. Jacob grieves, believing his son is dead. Jacob is devastated by the false witness of his other sons. Notice the pattern in both stories. False words are spoken. False charges are made. These false words are believed by those in authority. The false words are acted upon. An innocent person is harmed. Justice is perverted. Injustice triumphs. This is what false witness does. False witness is not a minor dishonesty. False witness enables injustice. False witness allows the guilty to harm the innocent. False witness perverts the systems that are meant to protect people. In both stories, false witness is used as a weapon against the vulnerable. Naboth is a commoner. The king and queen have power over him. They use false witness as a weapon to take what he has and to silence him permanently. Joseph is young. His brothers have power over him. They use false witness as a weapon to deceive their father and to hide their crime. In both cases, false witness is a way of using power dishonestly. False witness is a way of attacking those who cannot defend themselves. False witness is a way of getting what you want by destroying someone else. This is why the Ninth Commandment is so important. This is why God cares so much about false witness. False witness is not just lying. It is using words as weapons against the innocent. But both stories also reveal that false witness has consequences. In the case of Naboth, God brings judgment. Ahab and Jezebel face consequences for the injustice they perpetrated through false witness. It doesn't happen right away, but it does eventually. In the case of Joseph, the consequences unfold over time. The brothers live with their guilt. Years later, when they face Joseph again, not knowing who he is, they are reminded of their crime. Genesis 42, verse 21.
They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us."
The false witness haunts them. The lie they told continues to weigh on them, and eventually, they must confront what they have done. The Ninth Commandment must be understood in the context of justice. The commandment emerges from Israel's legal system. It protects the innocent from being condemned by false testimony. When false witness is common, when testimony cannot be trusted, justice is virtually impossible. The guilty can escape. The innocent can be condemned. The entire system of justice can collapse. Deuteronomy 19, verses 19 and 20.
"You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you."
Have you spoken false words that have harmed someone? Have you borne false witness that led to injustice? Have you used your words as a weapon against the innocent? Where do you need to confess and seek to restore what you have damaged? This week, if you have spoken false words that have caused harm, consider confession and restitution. Acknowledge what you have said. Do not minimize it. Do not make excuses. Seek out the person you have harmed. Tell them the truth. Tell them that what you said was false. Apologize for the harm you have caused. If possible, work to repair the damage. If you have harmed someone's reputation, speak truth to repair it. If you have contributed to injustice, work toward justice. The stories of Naboth and Joseph reveal the gravity of false witness. False words do not merely communicate wrong information. False words enable injustice. False words are weapons against the innocent. The Ninth Commandment forbids false witness because God sees what false words do. God sees how they destroy the innocent. He sees how they pervert justice, sees how they corrupt communities. When we speak falsely, when we bear false witness, we are not committing a minor dishonesty. We are participating in injustice. We are using words to harm the vulnerable. We are undermining the systems that protect people. But when we speak truthfully, when we refuse to bear false witness, when we protect the integrity of testimony, we are protecting the innocent. We are upholding justice. We are maintaining the systems that allow communities to function. The Ninth Commandment calls us to understand the power of our words and to use that power carefully, truthfully, in ways that protect rather than harm. Father, help us see that false words are not harmless. Help us understand that false witness enables injustice. Help us recognize where we have used our words as weapons against the innocent. Help us refuse to speak falsely, even when it would advantage us. Help us protect the innocent through truthful testimony. Help us maintain the integrity of justice systems by speaking truthfully. Help us understand our words have the power to destroy or to protect, to enable injustice or to uphold it. And help us become people who use our speech to protect the innocent and to serve justice. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.